And those five special friends changed the world because of what happened to them. Those five special friends found the Alka Indians. Nate had actually been flying his plane trying to find it. And when he finally discovered the tribe, he took his plane and he landed it. He landed it on a little sandbar. And he radioed the others. And they began to make trips there, dropping gifts to the tribe. But you see, when they finally landed and began to get to know them, they even gave two of them a ride in the plane. The problem was those two were a girl and a boy who were in love, but their parents and the tribe had not wanted them to be together. And so some of the tribe went out looking for them as they came back, and they caught them. They were going to spear them for disobedience and being together. When they said, no, it wasn't us. We were running from those foreigners, those strangers. They wanted to kill us. The village quickly conferred and said, then we must go kill them. Nate Saint didn't radio back to his wife that day. Jim Elliott didn't call his. And after a few days of America being on tiptoe, wondering, it was in all the papers. Five missionaries missing, feared dead. They flew over in a helicopter, and I've seen pictures of the bodies in the water. You see, here's what they knew. The missionaries were armed. They had guns. They believe one fired a gun into the air as the natives with, now think, spears are running at them. But Jim Elliott had said, we cannot shoot the Alkas if they attack. We're ready to meet God. They're not. And so those five men were speared to death while they had weapons to protect themselves. That alone would be amazing. But then their wives step into the story. Instead of rushing back to the States, their wives said, we're here. Why go home? We're going to continue the work our men were doing. We're going to keep teaching Jesus to whatever Indians we can. And it was during a session of teaching that two Alka women showed up in the camp. And when someone brought them to Rachel Saint and said, there are two women from the tribe that killed the men. Do you want to meet them? She said, absolutely, bring them in. She not only brought them in, but the women said, we're running from them. And through a translator, they explained their life was in danger. And she said, I have room in my hut. Live here. So she took the women in and taught them about Jesus, converted them to Christ. They went back and told the elders of their village, who sent a message back, will you come teach us about God's carvings? And so they did. Now you need to understand that these were the men who had killed their husbands. These were the ones who had lied. And they went in to teach them about Jesus. Their story's been turned into a movie called The Other End of the Spear. And there are points that will shock and sadden you. That's a real photo of one of the bodies in the water. But you need to know that the story takes a bizarre turn when Rachel Saint decides that instead of staying in her village, she will take her little son and her daughter. And as a widow, she will go to the village of the people who killed her husband and go to live with them and teach them Jesus and see them baptized into Christ. And she did. And she raised her son, Steve, and her daughter in that camp. Steve's now a full-grown man. Can you imagine what it would have been to be the little boy whose mom takes him to live in the village where your father's killers are? That's his sister right there on the back of that native. And that's Rachel making her way across the water. Steve's memories of that time, well, they're unique. Let me let him tell you about them.
The very first time I came into the tribe, they didn't know what to make of me. I don't think they knew if I was a girl or a boy. Of course, I didn't know that then. And then one of the old grandmothers came up and she grabbed my pants and pulled them out and started giving everybody a running commentary of what she was seeing, which to a 9-year-old boy is a little bit intimidating. After that, I can't remember any adjustment at all. They just made me feel like part of the tribe.
I do remember one time that Aunt Rachel said to me, "Kathy, you lost your daddy with a spear, but do you realize that every one of these children, and most likely every one of the adults, has had some relative speared to death? And you haven't gone through anything that they haven't gone through."
My first feeling about my father being killed by these same people was that it made me more one of them than it separated me from them, because a number of my friends' fathers had been speared. I was just one of the crowd. My father had been speared too.
When I was in high school in the States, I decided that I wanted to be baptized. And I wanted the people that baptized me to be people that had had a significant role in my life and in my spiritual development. I was in the same water where Dad's body had been thrown, and at either side of me were the two men that in their youth had killed Dad. And all I knew was that I really loved these two guys.
God's grace will do things that will cause the world to stop and stare. That's right. She was baptized by the men, now Christians, who had killed her father in the river where they threw his body. And the whole world stops and stares and says, "How can you be that forgiving?" They stop and stare at the man who says, "You need to know Jesus," to the woman who killed his son. "How can you be that forgiving?" And they stop and stare at any group of Christians who, instead of throwing darts at one another, instead of accusing and criticizing and saying, "How am I better than you?" They will stop and stare at the church of the Lord Jesus Christ when we give to others the grace that God has given to us. And that's how this world is going to be changed. That's how our culture is going to be changed.